Hello and welcome to One Team in Wales, the podcast by Taff and Daff, where we look back at Glamorgan's last game and look forward to their next. With me, Blake Bint, and as ever, it seems nowadays that I'm joined by Aled Hopkins, one of the fellow writers with me on Taff and Daff as well. So, Aled, we're recording this slightly later in the week, so there's some kind of context for listeners. We normally record on a Tuesday. Today we're recording on a Thursday, so it means it will save me the editing when it comes to mentioning the squad later on for the next game where we normally talk about someone and they're not even including the squad, so it means I have to edit it out. But as it is Thursday, this is relevant because it's 3 days since the game against Hampshire Finns rather than one day. Are we off the high yet?
Yeah, I would say so. It was a great high, wasn't it? And looking at that table on Tuesday morning, and sort of breathing a bit of a sigh of relief, seeing a little bit of daylight between Glamorgan and the bottom two was certainly something I brought up and refreshed the page fairly a few times in the day, just double checking that we were in fact fifth. But yeah, it's back down to business now this week, and as we'll get into on this episode, it's a real tough challenge again this week.
Yeah, I just think it's so good to get that first win on the board, which, in a kind of coincidence, it was a similar time last year when Glamorgan got off to such a sluggish start with two losses and a draw where they were nowhere near winning the game. And then again, it was the fourth game where they got a really positive draw against Derbyshire when they had the nine down at the end that things started looking up. So, in similar fashion, this time, obviously, though, to not just to win, but to win by an innings and 69 runs. It was quite remarkable.
Yeah, and what you just mentioned there, to think that we've had a better start in, or I keep saying we, I should be more,
No, you can
I
be a
should,
fan. It's fine. You can
I
be
can
a
be as
fan.
we want, can I? Okay, yeah, to think that we've had a better start in Division One than we did at this point last year in Division Two, is, you know, it's a testament to where this side has come in the last 12 months or so, how far they've come. And you know, massive credit has to go to Richard Dawson and his coaching staff for that, and you know, Kieran Carlson as well, taking over the captaincy this year, big job on his hands. You know, first time Glamorgan have been in Division One for over 2 decades, as we've mentioned numerous times on this podcast. So it, you know, it was a lot of pressure on it, and so far to be in a better position than they were in a league higher at this point. Last year is a tremendous achievement.
Yeah, it is. As always, let's go over the game and some of the individual performances. So, Glamorgan were stuck into bat by Hampshire, which might have been mistake number one from Southampton. Hampshire win the toss, sticking Glamorgan in, and Glamorgan scored 536 for 7 declared, 353 for 1 after the first day, which was the only day I went down to Southampton, which I was quite pleased with that when I was on the train home after a 15-hour day out the house. Zainul Hassan 143, Kieran Carlson 209, 54 not out as well for Sean Dixon, which is also great to see. And then Hampshire 214 all out in reply, only Ben Mays putting up a bit of a fight. Tim van der Gutten 4 wickets. Zainul Hassan got his first wickets of the season. He got two, and Mason Crane got three. 3 for 31 in just 15 overs. And Kieran Carlson took one wicket in one ball bowled, which is quite impressive. And then following on, Hampshire 253 all out. There was actually 15 wickets in one day. Again, Tim van der Gutten got three. So 7 in the match. There were 6 of them came in one day across the two innings. Jamie McElroy bowled really nicely again. He got 2 wickets. Ryan Hadley got on the board with two, and Mason Crane 3 once more, in what was quite a dominant win, as we've said. So I suppose the positive we've got to mention before we talk about individuals is everyone contributed, except Ben Kelleher.
Yeah, we'll excuse Ben coming back from that side injury, shall we? But yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think that was the most pleasing aspect, is it seemed that the whole team came together this week. You know, we've expressed our sort of there's a steely top seven amongst that, and we've debated whether that's perhaps extended to a top eight, top nine with the form of Mason Crane and Tim with the bat. But this was really a game where batters, bowlers, all-rounders, wicket-keepers, water boys, bus drivers, all were on top form. And it just seemed to all click. And you know, in the preview piece for this game ahead of this week that I wrote for the website today, you know, I mentioned that it looks a really good side when it appears to be all firing on all cylinders, which I think it was this week. And now it's about keeping that going, right? We've got to keep that going. The bowlers for me have been really, really impressive when we had doubts over them. You know, we didn't know much about Ryan Hadley coming into the season. I think he's more than held his own. And then, you know, Tim Vanderhooten and Mason Crane have really been the leaders in that bowling attack. And I think it's 32 wickets now between them so far this season. So really, really positive signs.
Yeah, it is. I was really impressed by them as well. Particularly Jamie McElroy, actually, who came in for his first game of the season. I didn't know how he was going to go. And although he was wicketless in the first innings, bowled really tight. And in the second innings, picked up a couple of wickets, bowled really nicely. Again, obviously, Ben Kellaway didn't bowl in this one, but you know, hardly needed, I suppose. So we're not sure how he'll be to bowl this week. I suppose time will tell with the game against Somerset. But I suppose we've got to talk about Zainul Hasan, first 100 for the Morgan, or first 100 in professional cricket. He played really nicely. He did have a bit of a reprieve on 29 when he was caught second slip off a no ball, but he just plays really within himself, and you know, he obviously put that behind him and batted really nicely.
Yeah, he did, and you know, it's not easy in the role that he has in the team. He's kind of thrust into to do all sorts of jobs up and down the order, and with the ball as well, just to kind of keep his place in the team and just to kind of prove his worth. And he's had to do that for quite a long time. And you know, watching the stream, Hampshire commentator Kevin James was really impressed with Zainul Hasan's performance. You know, sometimes he was saying even more than Asa Tribe and Kieran Carlson. As you said, he just looked really steely and assured, played some really, really good shots. And you could tell he wasn't used to being the one in the spotlight with his interview after the game. He's not the most media trained guy. You can tell he's quite a shy lad, and he's not used to doing too many interviews, but you know, hopefully that'll be something he has to deal with more to come when he performs like this, because he was absolutely superb, and he really deserved that 100. And I think, as you kind of said in the pieces that you wrote in the chat that we had, you know, he's a type of player you're really pleased for. Every time I've sort of passed him at Sophia Gardens, he's always smiled and said hello. He seems a really lovely lad. And I think, you know, the role that he's played in this team, and it's not been easy for him. He's been released by Worcestershire, I think it was, and then had to work his way through the Birmingham Leagues and the South Asian Cricket Academy to finally land in a contract with Glamorgan. And yeah, just super, super pleased for him. And hopefully now he can kick on.
Yeah, just on the media training, I'm not sure how the four reporters of us that were there managed to get 7 minutes out of him. But, you know, in my 4 years covering Glamorgan, I've never interviewed him, and I've never had him do post-match media. So, yeah, I think we had to cover all bases for...
He seemed a bit of a rabbit in headlights in the interview. But I think you couldn't quite believe it.
You saying about kind of the personality he is, I think that really comes across in the way he approaches things. Just a couple of lines to pick out from this, and there'll be a piece of Zainul Hasan's reaction on the website by the time this podcast goes live, so you'll be able to check that out. But just a couple of things he said was, monkey off the back, getting the first 100. So it shows he's like really positive, forward thinking about this. And you know, who knows, he might go and hit another this week. Like, it might just be the first one, get the nerves out of the way of that. And now he's done it, he knows what it takes to get 100. That might be the start of, you know, a real change in his game. And something else I think, which was really important that I picked up, was just him saying he's comfortable being there. Because it would have been easy for him to say, you know, oh, well, you know, it is something that's really different for me. And it's really tricky to adapt. But he just went on with it. He said he's comfortable. He said he wants to be able to contribute. He says he knows he's not going to get in the team batting 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So why not? You know, if I want to play, I've got to open. And I just think that's a really positive outlook.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for, obviously, as you mentioned, we don't really know him personally too much because we haven't really had to interview him or haven't had the chance to interview him too much. But, you know, knowing what you and I know about some of the personalities in that dressing room, you know, Kieran's a very laid back character, Colin the same, you know, that it seems a very kind of relaxed atmosphere in the changing room. It's full of guys who are very keen to help and to uplift each other. And, you know, even when things are not going so well, I think it's a changing room where they can put an arm around each other and just keep it nice and relaxed. And I think that suits somebody like Zain Ul Hassan from what we've said. You know, I think he's potentially more of a quieter personality and just wants to sort of contribute in any way he can. And I think that atmosphere really probably helps him. And that may be why one of the reasons we're seeing the best out of him now.
And then another person we've got to talk about is, it feels like it was Zain Ul Hassan's game, really, getting the big 100 or Mason Crane's for taking 6 wickets against his old side. It's quite easy to forget that Kieran Carlson scored a double 100. We've got player of the round in the new thing that's being done by the ECB this year, which, again, thoroughly deserved, only double centurion of the round of fixtures last weekend. His first ever in county cricket as well. And again, what a knock that was, by the way. 97 balls to reach his 100. Just the sort of player he is. Really busy at the crease. Naturally free-flowing. And yeah, never looked like getting out.
Yeah, I think the way you phrased that kind of perfectly sums up the way I view Kieran Carlson. You said, like, we forget that Kieran Carlson scored a double 100. And I think he is one of those cricketers that does get slept on a little bit. I think he's quite underrated. Like, you think he's been around now. He's, what, 28, 29? Been around since he was sort of 17, 18, and has been, you know, he's now obviously the all-format captain of the club, one of the, you know, the all-time appearance makers probably at this stage. And I think, you know, he's never really been talked about in, you know, an England context or anything. I'm not suggesting he should at this point, because at the moment, my list of Glamorgan players that should be playing for England is getting longer and longer. If I add Kieran Carlson to that, I'm not saying, you know, he's anywhere near that now at his age, but I don't think he's ever been kind of in that conversation. And I think he's, you know, he's a player, he's a three format player. He's got all the shots. Yes, he can be a little bit inconsistent, but, you know, when he gets going, I was looking at his strike rate. In first class, strike rate is 61.29. In list A, so mainly, you know, the one day cup, 98.83, and T20 is 142.91. So he's got that range of gears that he can go up through and use those different kinds of shots. And he does it really, really well, adapting to each format. And yeah, this knock, as you said, 209 off 232 balls. He came in and he just took a hold of that game with Zain as well, obviously, who was scoring at a much slower rate. But he really came in and elevated that innings, I thought, and took it beyond Hampshire. And, you know, as a captain would, going in at 5-3-6 for 7 declared at the end of the first innings, you know, he put Glamorgan in a place where they couldn't lose that game from there then.
Yeah, it's worth noting we mentioned the strike rates, because since he's started opening the batting in the T20 Blast, some of the shots he's playing in Red Ball cricket as well is so extravagant. One, he played a flick off the pads on 93 and sailed for 6 to take him to 99. It's just a shot he must have played out of instinct, which I don't think he would have played 3 years ago in that situation. So, yeah, really well-developed player. And as you said, you know, he's still... Well, he's the youngest captain across all 18 counties. He's played for Glamorgan. This is his 11th season now. So, yeah, some player. And I know our colleague Peter Miller is a big advocate of him playing for England Lions a few years ago when he had a couple of 1,000-run seasons back-to-back and got overlooked. So hopefully getting Division 1 runs can bring a bit more attention his way.
seems to like playing against Hampshire as well. Do you remember last season down at Neath, he scored 100 in the One Day Cup against Hampshire, and there were some unbelievable shots in that innings as well. So seems to like hitting the Hawks all over the park.
Yeah, he did. That game was a highlights package just in itself. I remember, yeah, there was a lot of big moments in that game. Manny Lumsden took a 3-4 on debut. Ben Mays, that was where we first saw him as well. He hit 50. And yeah, Carlson's 100 was blistering. So let's think about the game ahead. As you may have noticed, it's just me and Aled this week. Normally, we hope to have a third person on. Couldn't make that happen this week, but I did speak to Harry Everett from Somerset, freelance commentator and journalist, earlier this week. Here's some thoughts he gave on Somerset's last game in their defeat to Yorkshire.
Yeah, it was a pretty demoralising loss for Somerset, having dominated the first 3 days until the evening of day three. That Jai Richardson partnership was brilliant. He batted superbly for 50. They remember number 11, Jack White, with a first-class average of only 8, was dropped by Craig Overton at leg slip first ball. So yeah, unlike Craig Overton, dropped 3 catches in the match, and Tom Abel, Somerset's 2 best fielders since Max Waller retired. To see, yeah, those drop catches was a real surprise. Jorickson was brilliant. He trusted his partner, which I like. So many times you see batters not trust their talent. He didn't always trust him. Sometimes gave him 2 or 3 balls, but you know, it's number 10 to a number 11, and we were talking on comms, you might have heard Lego Van Beek, really. He was surprised to keep him in the team. Thought Ben Cliff might come in. Ben Coben is fit, obviously will come back for Yorkshire. But Jorickson could definitely bat above Lego Van Beek. It was a very good pitch at Somerset, actually. So many people saying how good a pitch. It's been too flat recently. It's not really turned this year. It's not really moved in the first couple of days. And the flat pitch has cost Somerset getting wins. It's been so flat, it's been a draw, basically. From the outset, you can tell it's going to be a draw as the pitch flattens out. When there's a bit of green grass left on it early on, then, you know, often means a good cricket wicket. Barely turned this pitch. A little bit of turn on day 4. Archie Vaughan got one to go to Lego Van Beek. And Don Best got a couple. Joe Root didn't really turn the ball, he just bowled well, and Somerset batted poorly. Like Miggy Pretorius gave the wicket away, caught and bowled first ball. But yeah, perfect cricket wicket in doing a bit early on, then flatten out, and then a tiny bit of spin on day 4. But Somerset probably want the ball to do a bit more off the pitch, as it did in this game, to have more chance of winning games. And this game, all along, the win viz and all the predictions were that Somerset going to win this game. And the scores went up from first to second to third innings. And fourth innings, really, Somerset should have been able to chase 300, 350. Yorkshire bowled better. And speaking to Anthony McGrath after day 4, he was talking about starving Somerset scoring options, which worked well. They were searching for wickets on day 1 and bowled poorly. Whereas on days, well, mostly on days 3 and on days 4, really, when Yorkshire were bowling at Somerset, it was more about drying them up and then Somerset getting frustrated. There are a lot of T20 one-day aggressive players in that Somerset lineup, and, yeah, just didn't really bait it out. It was Josh Thomas who was patient, top scored in both innings. He was the man who scored over a great rate for County Championship. It was nearly a run of ball, actually, the way he thumped his 100. And then he top scored in the second innings with a much slower 50 odd, where he just batted appropriately to the conditions. And when he fell in, you know, Somerset collapsed thereafter, really. But yeah, a frustrating loss for Somerset, and again, they really should have won. A lot of you will have seen my interview with Joe Root after day 4, video I've posted on HarryEverett_14 Twitter or on my Instagram, Harry Weverett. If you haven't seen it, do have a look. He was brilliant talking about Josh Thomas, the 2 Roo boys, and Alfie Ogbourne. You know, people have been impressed with Alfie Ogbourne. I played against him in club cricket in the National Cup. He was opening bowling for Bridgewater with Will Williams about 4 years ago now. I was playing for Sanford at the time in the Devon League. And yeah, Will Williams had me in knots. I managed 2 singles off Will Williams in about 3 overs. And Alfie Ogbourne bowled 3 overs at me, and I just played a miss, and eventually he bowled me. I think we were about 7 for 1 after 6 overs, just happy to try and get through, really. And he was a young lad then. His mum sent me a picture of Alfie Ogbourne and North Perrott before he joined Wembley. He was at Sparkford, Castle Kerry, Oval area away as a youngster. Then went to North Perrott, and 5 years ago, there's a picture of him, absolutely tiny young lad. And he's grown the last few years in stature and height, but in confidence as well. Steve Kirby's been brilliant working with him. Paces are up, and he's got that in-swinger from over the wicket. You might have seen a lot of time on commentary in the last 4 days of the Yorkshire game. We were talking about his angles from over the wicket and round the wicket and the different ways he's going to dismiss a batter. So many people have seen the James Vince dismissals. You know, his first few games were against Hampshire. His first few games of first-class cricket, that was all he played against, was Hampshire, just the way it worked out. Bowled well against Notts as well. But yeah, great to see Alfie Ogbourne in good shape, in good form. And he's an exciting talent and quite similar to Sonny Baker, actually. in that Hampshire Somerset game, a lot of people saw those two as, you know, previous flatmates, Somerset twos together quite a lot. But he does something different on a pitch at Somerset that's so flat and doesn't take, you know, since the side of bad days, it barely turns and barely does much on days two, three and four. So they need someone to be a bit different in the Millovers. And Alfie Ogbon's taken a few crucial wickets this season when not a lot else is happening. So yeah, hopefully he plays at Cardiff, but there's fears that I think Craig Overton might be rested. Jason Kerr said to me after play on day four when I interviewed him that Jake Ball was going to come in, definitely. So the worry is it might be Craig Overton had a bit of a niggle, didn't look himself a bit in this Yorkshire match, but it might be that two are rested. Maybe Alfie Ogbon's rested again, might be Josh Shaw that comes in, but I'd rather see bowlers bowl, rather see bowlers play and not worry about being rested all the time. They should be able to, you know, bowl across 4 days. There was a bit of rain around, didn't, the workloads weren't that bad. They'd have a few days off and then go again, but they're so worried about stress fractures these days. It's not like the days, the West Indian lads in the 90s who would have bowled 3 day match, then a 1 day match and a 3 day match in the same week. And yeah, Glamorgan is a bit like Leicestershire. It feels like a Somerset rejects would be harsh, or Somerset reserves or Somerset twos would be harsh. But I love seeing the likes of Ben Green, Josh Davey doing well, you know, even Adam Hose, George Bartlett. But if we're going for the Glamorgan line, it's Ned Leonard, it's Eddie Byram and it's Sean Dixon. And Eddie Byron, you know, it's been good to see him get a chance at the top of the order. Not been brilliant this year. Seeing Kieran Carlson and Zainul Hassan come in and do better than Eddie Byron, fair enough. Then Sean Dixon's been in and out with this Ben Kellaway injury early in the season. Then, you know, he's been in more recently. But that another man's got in the 90s in that previous round where everyone seemed to get out in the 90s. Good to see Sean Dixon get some runs. You know, of course, that clutch number five T20 Blast player, Somerset will never forget. Thomas Rue will probably come in and do that role, I expect, at number five in the Blast Somerset this year. But he will be missed. Do not doubt that. He will be missed by Somerset in a Blast shirt. Don't think he'd have got in the county championship side this year, but you never know. When there were those double injuries at Chelmsford, would he have been an injury replacement ahead of Will Smead or Archie Vaughan? I don't know. He had a few chances and didn't really do as well as he did at Durham or Kent. But, you know, he's now in Division 1 for Glamorgan, and I wouldn't be surprised if he scores some runs against Somerset, often the way it goes. It's great to see that he and Ben Green, I'm not sure if Josh Davey came down, but for the Lewis Gregory testimonial, when they're playing against each other, Glamorgan, Leicestershire at Cardiff a couple of weeks ago, came down on Friday night all the way to Taunton just for a few hours and then back up to play against each other again the next day. I thought that's a great touch, and the love for Lewis Gregory and the, you know, the club of Somerset and the things they did and achieved together, the, you know, the two Blast wins, of course. So yeah, a lot of love for Sean Dixon, and it was gutting when he left, and I'm pretty sure he's still got a house in mid-Somerset, so I think he's still travelling around a fair bit. But yeah, good luck to him and hope he does well for Glamorgan. And yeah, I really would not be surprised if he scores runs for Glamorgan against the Somerset attack. He knows pretty well. Often the way that players who've left Somerset do well against them, which, you know, even not against them, but Ben Green, 7 for last week, Casey Aldridge's 99, I think it was. I think he was dropped early in the innings and could have been run out. But, you know, there's some very good talent coming through the Somerset Academy and pathway. And they, if they can't get in, then they've got to go elsewhere for action and we'll do well at other counties.
So, Alid, Harry mentioned there their defeat to Yorkshire, their first one this season. They only just scraped by against Hampshire as well by 2 wickets, but they're a side that you'd look at to be quite a difficult force to break down.
Yeah, they made a blistering start, didn't they, to this season. And, you know, I look at this side as one of the, if not the strongest, county setup in county cricket. You could argue Surrey, maybe, with the infrastructure there, but I think with what you see from them in all formats, you know, semi-finalists in the One Day Cup last year, winners of the Blast, and then with the, you know, the start that they made in the county championship, I genuinely think they are contenders for all three competitions this season. And, you know, that's going to be difficult to do because obviously there's a lot of players going here, there and everywhere, and it's a lot of cricket to play and manage. But they've got a lot of things right down there in Taunton in the last couple of years, and some of the players that they're bringing through are excellent. So it's going to be another massive test for Glamorgan, and I think that loss, especially at home to Yorkshire, who haven't particularly been that impressive up until that point, is going to spur them on to really want to climb back to the top of that table.
Yeah, strongest county setup is a good way to put it, particularly with their youth and development coming through. Harry mentioned there as well, their youngsters that are coming through, obviously James Root's very spoken about. And Harry even spoke to Joe Root after their last game, which he mentioned in our conversation as well. And Joe Root was very praising of Somerset's youngsters. Just reel off their team from the last game: Archie Vaughan, Josh Thomas, youngster Tom Lamonby, James Rue, Tom Abel is the most experienced by a long way in that top five. And then Thomas Rue made his debut at just 18 years old. Will Smead, still not very old either. Their bowlers are slightly more experienced. But then they've got Alfie Osborne as well, the young left-arm seamer who's really made a mark this season. And then some of the guys that go under the radar. You've got Lewis Gregory, Tom Abel, as I already said, Craig Overton. Probably you couldn't argue who goes under the radar, but you know, it's just a really well-balanced side. I think Glamorgan are fortunate that at this stage, off the back of a win, they're playing them at Cardiff, because in Taunton, Somerset do tend to have a pretty good record with the way they get their pitches set up. And obviously their spinners, Jack Leach, didn't play in the last game, but he obviously is a, well, he's Jack Leach. Need not to say more about him. So yeah, it's going to be tough, isn't it? Even with Glamorgan's win behind them.
Yeah, it is. But I think you know, this is, and I kind of touched on this in the preview piece, but I think for me, this is, you know, the last 2 weeks against Leicestershire and Hampshire were really big games, in that they were teams that you'd expect to kind of be scrapping along the bottom with Glamorgan at this stage in the season. And you know, they've come out of those two games with really positive results, you know, a decent draw against Leicestershire and then obviously a massive win against Hampshire. So in this game, I think it's more, I'd like to see what lessons Glamorgan have learned from the Nottinghamshire game when they do go up against these top oppositions. And as you've mentioned, some of the players there, you know, you look at that side and it's a brilliant mix of youth and experience, isn't it? That Somerset side, with some of the most exciting prospects in county cricket coming through, you know, the Rue brothers, as you mentioned, Alfie Vaughan, obviously Michael Vaughan's son, and then the experience of Abel and Gregory and Overton and all of those guys as well. It's a really nicely balanced side. So yeah, from my point of view, I want to see now where Glamorgan have got to against the top side from that second round game against Nottinghamshire, where some of our fears pre-season I think came true, in that it collapsed pretty quickly and they were really out of the game. So how have they learned from the lessons from that game, and where is this side now in comparison to where it was, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
I suppose one thing you could say is they have had early wobbles in the past, and then that's when James Roos got runs. And then you look at the Yorkshire game, James Rue struggled, and Josh Thomas, who I don't think anyone would have thought about as much of a worry, he had a big 100. So that's just, you know, the kind of side where they are, as we said, in terms of balance. And it's just one person stepping up for another. I wanted to mention one thing about Glamorgan, because it wouldn't be talking about Glamorgan if it wasn't for a bit of pessimism. Is the win over Hampshire, like, slightly inflating, though? Like, Hampshire were bad.
They were, but you know, as we said in the preview, that they've got good players. It's not as if they're, you know, a team that's just way off it and they're absolutely banged to rights to go down. You know, they've got real talent in that line. And I know Lehman was missing for them. Dawson was missing as well. So I know they had, you know, maybe not their strongest lineup, but it's still a good side on paper. And you know, it was an absolute hammering. And you know, if that toss decision had been filmed, we might be looking at a viral clip like Nasser Hussain's decision in when was that? 2001, was it?
I did see something on social media, a couple of comments flying in about which decision was worse, but. You know,
but they made them pay, right?
They looked down rather than looked up, didn't they? They saw a bit of green, but the sun was clearly out, and yeah, the pitch just didn't offer as much as they thought. But yeah, as you say,
we made them pay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Hampshire's attack on paper, you look at those names. You know, Kyle Abbott got the only wicket on day one, but Sonny Baker didn't bowl badly. Glamorgan just played it nicely. Cody Yusuf was well off it, and so was their spinner Felix Organ. But you know, it's not easy to replace Liam Dawson. But you're absolutely right. Glamorgan obviously did play well in their own right. I just thought I'd pose the question that can we get too it is possible to get too excited and then, you know, play Somerset now and get in some serious trouble. But you know, let's keep it openly positive, I suppose.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Glamorgan are coming into this game off a thunderous victory, where confidence is going to be sky high, and Somerset are coming in off their first loss. So, you know, I don't think they'll panic by any stretch of the imagination, but that, you know, it's an interesting dynamic of where the two teams are coming into the game, where, you know, on paper, Somerset are heavy favourites, but they're coming off the loss and Glamorgan are coming off the win. So
obviously we always wrap up by looking at what the side might look like. And as I said, it's notable that we normally record on a Tuesday. This time we're recording on a Thursday. The squad's already out. Jamie McElroy missing out through concussion, which is a shame. Tom Norton's in the squad for the first time. It'll be interesting to see if we see him. I imagine because it's at home, we'll just see Andy Gorvin come in. Do you agree? I'd love to see Norton. I just don't think now's the right time.
I would too. I really liked what he's put together over pre-season and in the second team games. You know, Andy Gorvin, again, it would be harsh on him if he was to miss out, I think, because he has done well, especially at home. As you've mentioned, he's kind of a home pick at Sophia Gardens. But I would like to see Tom Norton come in because, you know, Jamie McElroy came in last week, playing his first team game of the season and made a real impact. And yes, he's a little bit more experienced and sure of himself maybe than Norton is. But, you know, youth, what's that? When you're young, you have no fear. And, you know, Somerset are throwing a lot of their young lads in. Obviously, Thomas Rew is only 17, just finished his A-levels, and James is much older. They've got a load of guys who are 20, 21. So why not? But on the same token, you know, I wouldn't be too upset if they go with Gorvin as well. You know, I think when you look at that game, five or six wickets, I think, in the game for Dom Bess and four or five for Joe Root. You know, it was clearly spin was the Achilles heel of Somerset in that game. And, you know, that really opens it up for the likes of Mason and I think Ben Kellaway as well in this game. I think we will see him bowl. If that's what Glamorgan are looking to target. And, you know, Sophia Gardens has provided a bit of turn this season, not as much probably as Taunton, but I'm sure we'll see plenty of spin in this game as well.
Well, I did want to mention the pitch because obviously it was the snooze fest last time Glamorgan were at home against Leicestershire, that hybrid pitch that just never really provided anything that both coaches would have hoped for. And as you say, Taunton is generally spin heavy. Potentially that's where Somerset lost the game against Yorkshire, not having Jack Leach available to them. But Lewis Gregory took six wickets, someone who was probably a very similar bowler to the likes of Van der Goopton or Gorvin to a kind of slightly lesser extent. Gregory's a little bit quicker. But that's still that kind of medium pace that's metronomic. So it will be interesting to see that and how Glamorgan do want the pitch to play. And hopefully we get one that's more sporting than the Leicestershire game, because blimey, that was hard work. Just the last thing I want to mention while we're on selection as well is we saw the order shuffle for the first time against Hampshire. I mentioned Kellaway was the only one not to contribute. He was rather unfortunate, really. His first time batting at four in the county championship, you're probably expecting to bat on the first day if you're the number four. And he had to wait until day two, by which point Glamorgan had already piled on the runs. But Carlson's first time at three and he gets a double hundred. So, and Dixon at six worked again. So are you liking the look of this? I think I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been a bit of change. You know, some forced, some perhaps picked off form. But yeah, it seems like there's a lot of players in that side who are versatile and willing to bat in different spots. Dixon's been one, Lausanne's been one, Kieran, we've now seen Kieran move around a little bit, and perhaps Ben has got to do that as well. As you say, I think by the time Ben Kellaway had come in that innings, there was a lot of runs on the board and Glamorgan are looking to get to a 500 plus total where they can declare and start bowling, right? So I think the pace is starting to get pushed, and you know, sometimes that can go one of two ways. You can either smash it around the park, or you can have an early exit. So I think, yeah, that's just one game for Benny. We know his quality, and we know that he can. I think he can bat in different spots, and you know, I think as we're kind of everyone's debating with the England side as well. That's modern cricket. I think you've got to be able to adapt and bat in multiple spots in the top seven if you want to be a top batter. And I think yeah, we'll see that.
It's the phrase I've been hearing so much the last few weeks, something about round pegs and square holes, or other way
Yeah.
around, square pegs, round
Square
holes.
pegs and round holes, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that comes into it. You know, Zainul Hassan has obviously set his mark at the top, and Kellaway has batted four in the glass. So yeah, hopefully that comes good. I don't think there's any more talk needed about the top seven, because it's just not going to change, is it?
No, especially after putting up 536 runs, you know, you're not going to change too much. I don't think Richard Dawson's much of a tinkerer. I think he likes to have a settled side as much as he can, and let the boys go out and play their game.
So for Glamorgan, it'll be interesting to see who they replace Jamie McElroy with. For Somerset, it'll be interesting to see how their youngsters go at Cardiff this week. And can Glamorgan go back to back? I'll be there from Friday till Monday, and then next week we'll have our podcast again reviewing it, as well as many pieces in between now and then as well. But for now, thank you so much for your listening. Thank you to Alid for joining me, and to Harry for speaking to me earlier this week. But for now, make sure you check out Taff and Daff, and we'll see you soon. Bye bye.